Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
When was the last time you went into downtown Boston? For many of us, the answer is before the pandemic. More people are working from home now. That means less people walking around, less people going out to lunch and dinner, less people shopping when they get off the clock. According to data from the City of Boston, economic activity in the area called downtown is still 20 to 40% below pre-pandemic levels in industries like restaurants, retail, and hotels. And that's a huge problem, says the city. But it's also a huge opportunity. Last night, officials relaunched Plan Downtown, an initiative started to revitalize downtown. It started in 2019 and was paused because of COVID. We take a look at that relaunch and what it means for Boston and its residents in this week's Business of Boston. With us is Arthur Jemison, Chief of Planning for the City of Boston and head of the Boston Planning and Development Agency. Arthur, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure. Good morning, Kim.
So Plan Downtown is meant to solve some of the problems that I just laid out, and it was relaunched last night publicly. First, how did that relaunch go?
It went great. So right there at Downtown Crossing, in between Macy's and the Roche Brothers, we set up a series of tents and some balloon stacks that where we got and to try to attract every person who could, I was walking through there to fill out some surveys and give us some information about how they view downtown and some of the opportunities. And of course, when we talk about downtown, we're talking about Chinatown as well. So we got a really great cross-section of people with a lot of different interests. Again, soliciting interest in the plan and reconvening our advisory committee was the real purpose of last night, and it was very successful.
So Plan Downtown was meant to solve a lot of the issues, as I said. It involves zoning. I think a lot of people, when they hear zoning, they zone out because it seems very dense and complicated. Can you help our listeners understand what this means in a way that they, you know, everybody's been to Downtown Crossing and Faneuil Hall. What does this zoning plan mean for those places?
Sure. So the way to think about zoning is it's a signal. It's a very strong signal to the people who own property, who might buy property, about what the future of downtown can be. And it's really a way of sending a message to those developers and owners. Here's what the city would like you to do. And I think based on the things we've been hearing, I think we're going to hear developers and owners are going to hear the city would like to owners and developers to do the things that are going to bring people back downtown, encourage them to use the downtown and use restaurants and patronize businesses. And the way that you do that through zoning is by creating incentives where if you have a certain kind of commercial space that's dedicated to small local users, or you have a certain kind of housing in your development, potentially affordable housing, that you'll get an incentive. As everyone knows, it takes time for construction to take place and rehabilitation to take place. And it takes even a little bit longer for the decisions that drive those changes to take place. And zoning is like sending them a message that says, here, you have an opportunity to actually not just do something great for your property, but for the downtown. And if you do it, and if a number of people do it, it'll change the way downtown looks, feels, and how many people you see when you're walking down the street.
And how does Plan Downtown, the advisory group for Plan Downtown, play into this whole process?
Sure. So the advisory group is there to give us a kind of a small group advice about some of the ideas that will come out of the planning work that's being done. So, for example, when we want to show a map with boundaries showing downtown and Chinatown and how and where zoning incentives might be used to encourage people to develop more housing or to develop affordable housing or have small businesses that are local located in the first floor, they can say, well, you know, have you thought about maybe changing the boundaries in this way? Or have you thought about maybe extending the incentives in this area? There's a lot of opportunity there. And the owner there has said they're interested. It's that kind of localized advice that you get in an IAGE or, this is not an IAGE, but an advisory group that helps make a change.
And coming up, we'll be speaking to someone on that advisory group. But first, I want to talk about the Seaport, which is, in a sense, Boston's latest experiment with revitalizing a neighborhood. Back in 2010, then-Mayor Tom Menino began to change the landscape of the South Boston waterfront, calling what is now the Seaport an innovation district and bringing in billions of dollars of investment. But the area has been called revitalization on steroids, lots of business, lots of life science. There's some housing, but it's not very affordable. It's also very, very white. So, Arthur, what lessons can be learned or even best practices from what happened with the Seaport Revitalization Project?
Well, appreciate the question. I think we're focused on sort of a series of values that we hold close to us, specifically in order, approximate order, affordability, resilience, and equity. In the work that we do. And so, you know, what we'll be looking to embody in the zoning and the other kinds of changes we are requesting are having people able to see those values at work. So what you'll see is when we're providing an incentive that allows someone to perhaps build the building they'd like to build, maybe taller than is currently allowed, that incentive would be, well, are you going to build affordable housing on your site or right next door? Are you going to build more housing than maybe you would have otherwise? Are you going to have great first floor users that are going to drive use? Those are the kinds of incentives that we can build into zoning and also the plan downtown generally to make it very clear what we're hoping to have. You know, in a place like Chinatown, we'll be able to use, in some cases, zoning to send messages to private owners. And we also have city-owned properties there that we can dedicate to making sure that we have that mix of people and uses that people love about Boston wherever they see it. So I think that's how we can make sure that it's potentially different than what you're seeing over in the Seaport.
So the city recently released a report with recommendations on revitalizing downtown, and there were six main goals. One, creating vibrancy of office space. Two, expanding housing downtown. Three, expanding downtown beyond work. Four, creating more mobility downtown, improving transportation. Five, enhancing economic opportunity with underserved populations. And six, making Boston a global tourism hub. These are some pretty lofty goals. How does Plan Downtown fit into that?
Well, Plan Downtown is where the, you know, a lot of those, the things you that are in that plan really take, are things that take years to come to fruition and be executed. And so Plan Downtown is really designed to be the means through which we send that signal through zoning, the means through which we incent that change that people are going to see very soon. That's how it happens. It happens through the plan and through the zoning message. You know, in terms of the loftiness of the goals, I mean, I think the design of the report was really to sort of set the table for what the plan should begin to do. I think we try to make a big difference by making sure the little things happen the way that they're supposed to. And so paying attention to, you know, individual opportunities to realize a full development of a site that may have been languishing for a long time, taking some of the sort of smaller steps that show that the bigger and longer term goals are going to happen is really where we're focused today. And sort of that's where the Plan Downtown is going to focus as well, on those executable actions that people can track and see the progress of. Because when you add them up and when we're joined by the private sector in taking those steps, that's when you begin to see the achievement of some of those larger goals.
That was Arthur Jemison, Chief of Planning for the City of Boston and lead of the Boston Planning and Development Agency. Arthur, thanks.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
I'd like to bring in two more voices now. With us now is Michael Nichols, president of the Downtown Boston Business Improvement District. He's also a member of the Plan Downtown Advisory Group. And Catherine Carlock, real estate reporter with the Boston Globe. Catherine and Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Catherine, I want to start off with you. Before COVID, the downtown area had the most foot traffic of any neighborhood in the city. Today, the city says that foot traffic is, on weekdays, still 40 to 55% below pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Catherine, as I understand it, rents are rising mm-hmm. and office space is opening. More people are working from home, so there are empty offices downtown despite the rise in price. Can you tell us about this changing landscape?
So Boston's office market is really kind of struggling to find its footing right now. There's really this ongoing disconnect between employers and employees about how often do I need to come into the office? I've just, you know, worked from home for over 2 years. Do I really need to come back in now? But then there is some, you know, there's vibrancy, connections, communication that can happen when you're in person versus when you're at home over the computer. So what we're seeing is, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday tend to be the really strong days when a lot of folks are coming in. But on Mondays and Fridays, just downtown, at least in the financial district, it's pretty bare bones. And so what employers and office tenants are kind of grappling with is, hey, I'm leasing all this space for employees that may or may not be coming in to use that space. So you're seeing big name companies, GE, Reebok, Wayfair, a ton of other tech companies saying, hey, I'm going to put some of my office space on the sublease market, which means I'm taking this contract that I've signed with the landlord to say, Let me lease this space and say, hey, could someone else use this?
So, Michael, you're a member of the Plan Downtown Advisory Group. What priorities are you bringing to the table to address some of the things that Catherine was talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, we certainly share Chief Jemison's view that housing is key to making the neighborhood more of a 16, 18, 24-hour, you know, real neighborhood feel, right? We have the activity and vibrancy on the streets. Couple that with certainly a focus on retail activation, trying to get more of our vacant storefronts occupied, whether short-term pop-up, long-term. Certainly, I think there's an opportunity to further develop as a counterpoint to the Seaport and Back Bay and Fenway and other places, you know, equity paths for small businesses to have their start in downtown. You know, we already have the sort of diversity of the foot traffic of who's in downtown. And now I think we need the businesses that are going to be more resilient for the future to match by identifying those, you know, greater Boston who want to get their start in downtown. But the overall story, I think, is actually, you know, a lot stronger, the revitalization, than maybe some might view. You know, the traffic in the neighborhood has been stronger every single week this year than it was every single week corresponding the year before and the year before that. So we haven't quite hit that equilibrium point yet. But I think with housing, with retail activation, with the tourists coming back, with new restaurants opening, you know, we're going to get to a new normal that I think people are going to get really excited about.
So producer Amanda Breland spoke with other members of the advisory group. Here's Allison Frazee, head of the Boston Preservation Alliance. She says her focus is preserving Boston's historic identity and skyline.
Right now on the side of Macy's, the downtown bid has a big sign up. It says Boston in bold letters. And it has a bunch of images of different places, mostly downtown places. And if you look at it carefully, almost every single one of those places is historic. It's the old State House, the Paramount Theater, the Boston Common. And if you start to take away these places that are historic because we have not proactively protected them, there's nothing left. You know, there's nothing left that identifies Boston as Boston. So it's really our responsibility to be good stewards. And this plan needs to do that.
And there and Allison is one of over a dozen members of the advisory group, I should say that. So there are a lot of competing interests. Is there a challenge to include everyone's priorities, Catherine? How do you, we've heard about concerns about equity and, mm-hmm. and all sorts of things. How do you do that?
So that's where the advisory group for a plan like Plan Downtown can really come into play because, as Chief Jemison was saying, you know, taking into account maybe some on-the-ground feedback from folks that maybe the city hadn't considered before. So that's, I think, a way that you can incorporate a lot of different perspectives because downtown can be different for everybody. And so that's where when you come into a zoning plan, you know, when you say, how high is this going to be? What can I build there? That's where you can start to build in some of those different perspectives of what's important, because, you know, it's interesting to hear Chief Jemison say about connecting downtown and Chinatown, because, you know, traditionally the financial district and Chinatown, two very different neighborhoods within the span of a couple blocks. So figuring out how to re-knit those two together, I think, will be really, really interesting.
And to that point, producer Amanda Breland also spoke with Angie Liu, executive director of the Asian Community Development Corporation. She's also a member of the Plan Downtown Advisory Group, and she says her priorities are protecting the interests in Chinatown in all of this.
Specifically, we want to make sure that we can protect the housing that we have here, to protect the residents who have been very vulnerable to evictions. You know, what was perhaps less obvious in the previous planning process is the need to continue to support the small businesses and the restaurants in Chinatown. The pandemic made that very, very clear.
So, Michael, I know that the Seaport comparison that we made earlier isn't directly comparable to downtown, but one of the issues is inclusion of everyone. How do you address those concerns?
You know, downtown was laid out, people gather, right? We're all transportation lines.
All right, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you, Michael. We're having a bit of a technical difficulty. Catherine, can you talk a little bit more about that issue?
Sure. So the Seaport, you know, one of the reasons why the Seaport is, you know, has a lot of luxury housing, and it was a very expensive place to build back when late mayor Tom Menino brought Vertex Pharmaceuticals over from Cambridge, and that really set off a, you know, this huge wave of development that's still going. And so, but land prices, development prices just kept escalating. And so that, even when you see housing developments, you know, what's considered affordable for some of those housing developments may not be, you know, actually affordable for everyone.
That was Catherine Carlock, real estate reporter from the Boston Globe. And also with us is Michael Nichols, president of the Downtown Boston Business Improvement District and a member of the Plan Downtown Advisory Group. Thanks to everyone.
Thank you.